And I just want to say that I am so blessed and thankful to be here. And I love every one of you. And I mean that. And I wish I could spend more time with every one of you. Pastor and his wife, beautiful wife. And I love them very much. Honestly, you all mean the world to me. And I care about every one of you. And I am so thankful. And Mike, come on in, Mike. Come on in. There he is. Okay. You can run, but you can't hide. No, Mike, hit him. Let's sing a song. Let's sing a song before you do. Yeah, come on up. I want to sing a song. It's a testimony. It's my testimony. If I could tell you it, this is what I would sing to you. Okay? How would they... Or
you can turn this off.
Can I just turn that on?
Just the drunk. Just stand around. This will pick everybody up.
The drunk on the street, the rich in the palaces, the poor and unlearned, and the man of degree, they all have a soul in need of salvation, and they all have to go by Calvary.
By Calvary.
Well, I am so glad God saves old sinners. I'm thrilled and amazed how he sets them free. But the biggest surprise in redeeming old sinners is that he would save an old sinner like me.
An old sinner like me.
Was I so bad that I needed forgiveness? Or was I so wrong I had to be redeemed? Now I wasn't a thief, but I lived in sin's prison. And I was as lost as a sinner could be.
As a sinner could be.
Well, I am so glad God saves old sinners. I'm thrilled and amazed how he sets them free. But the biggest surprise in redeeming old sinners is that he would save an old sinner like me.
An old sinner like me.
Thank you, guys. Amen. Amen. I appreciate my son, too. At any moment, and Brother Kevin knows this, and Pastor knows this, at any moment, he could be working, playing a video game, in the bathroom, eating, and at the moment, let's sing. And he drops everything to sing, and I appreciate that. It means a lot to me. And I have a devotion this night. I'll be preaching Sunday morning. Please come, bring somebody, invite someone. If you know people that have visited church, but they kind of miss, like maybe sometimes they come 1 week and then you don't see them, and they come, call them, show them love. Say, hey, why don't you come? I miss you. Why don't you come to First Bible Church? We want to see you Sunday morning. Could you do that? Is there someone on your mind, on your heart? That maybe you can call or text and bring them. Let's see this church. Let's see this Sunday morning jam-packed. It doesn't matter if it's after Thanksgiving. If you're here, let's come and hear the Word of God. Amen? And it's a blessing to be here. I know I said it again a lot. I'm going to say it again. I love every one of you, every single one of you. I have a devotion. I'm going to preach Sunday morning, a message on my heart. But I have a quick devotion that's on my heart also that I'd like to give every one of you. Before I do, on a carnal note, we're recruiting. We need 20 men to come out tomorrow morning for the Turkey Bowl. No, but seriously, we need 20 men. We're going to do something different this year. I talked to some of the captains. We're going to do something different this year. We're looking for 20, so we'll have four teams of five. Four teams of five on each team, and we're going to have playoffs and a Super Bowl. So it'll be awesome. It'll be a tournament, so please come. Come tomorrow morning. What time is tomorrow, Kevin? Like, where is it? Okay, and we have to be on the field 8:30? Okay, so on that field, 8:30, it's artificial turf, from what I understand, so bring your sneakers, okay? Raise your hand if you can make it. Oh, wow, Pastor. Praise the Lord. Okay, we need 20. Okay, please come. Please invite somebody. All right, let's get back to the scriptures, okay? All right. I'm going to ask you a question. And seriously, if I was a priest, would you want to hear what I had to say? If I was a priest, would the pastor want me to come and preach the gospel and teach you the Bible? Would he? Are you sure? Look with me in Revelation chapter 1. Okay? Look with me in Revelation chapter 1, please. Some of you probably already know where I'm headed to with this. Remember, you said you wouldn't want to hear me. Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Let's read. Is everyone there? I want all this. Is everyone there? Okay, let's please read. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you speak to hearts. I pray you reveal to them that what's hindering them of getting closer to you and being filled with the Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, that you use this message to change our lives in the short period of time that we're going to look at your scripture. I pray that you do something real in our hearts, not just touch our head, but touch our heart too. Thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Look with me, please, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Let's read. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Amen. If you are saved, you're 100% sure you're going to heaven. If you died right now, you know for a fact you go to heaven. Jesus Christ forgave you of all of your sins. You're a child of God. You're saved from hell. And when you die, you're going to heaven. Say amen.
Amen.
Okay, a little louder. Say amen.
Amen.
Well, watch this. You know what? If you're saved, you're a priest. Every one of you are a priest. I am a priest, a spiritual priest. Look at verse 6. And hath made us, and Jesus Christ saved us, watch this one, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Back in the Old Testament, they would come and the priest would do the blood sacrifice, offerings for the atonement of the sins of the people. Is that true? Is that true, Pastor? Is that true? A priest would do that, make an atonement. Well, you'd have to go to a priest and have a feast and a Passover, and you'd do some other things. But listen to this. You're a priest. If you're saved, you don't need man. You can come right to God. When you're troubled in your heart and your burden, you can get on your knees and talk right to Jesus Christ directly. And even though we're priests and we can talk rightly to God, sometimes we don't talk to him. Isn't that true? Sometimes it's almost like we want men or we want something else in between. We have the power and grace to come right to God and speak to him. So every one of us are a priest. Now look with me, please, in Luke chapter 10. Now keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Before Luke chapter 10, let's look in 1 Peter chapter 2. There's something I want you to see. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 5. It's to saved people. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Look at verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him whom hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I see a lot of people who say they're Christian, but they still live in darkness. You ever see that? Do you know anybody that says they claim to be Christian, but it seems like they still live in darkness? They can never fulfill that verse to where I once was lost, but now I'm found. Or I was once in spiritual darkness, now I live in light. And we show that through the praises. We are offering spiritual sacrifices to God, not secretly or privately, but publicly and to everyone. You believe that, right? Is that true? Okay, so let's just establish something. Are you a spiritual priest? Are you a priest? Are we all spiritual priests? Look with me, please, in Luke chapter 10. Okay. Look with me, please, in Luke chapter 10. Let's start in verse 30. Say amen when you're there. Amen. I don't want to leave anyone behind. Is everyone there? Okay. Look with me in verse 30. You know the story. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now, a priest, regardless, a priest is representing God. Supposed to, right? Is this priest representing God in this moment? Do you believe he's living what he believes? No, he's not. Look at verse 32. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, what place? Where the thief was. Or, I'm sorry, where the man that was wounded and half dead, where the thieves came and stripped him of his raiment, left him half dead, at that place, now watch this, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Did he show anything from the heart? Did he show what he believed? Now, he had the clothes, robes, and outwardly, he looked like a priest. He looked like some kind of spiritual figure, some kind of spiritual mediator or somebody that was spiritual. He was a priest. But when it came to show what he believed, there was nothing there. He didn't do anything. Is he living what he believes? No, he's not. Let's continue. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, where the man was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him into an inn and took care of him, even spent money on him. In anything he saw, he cared about souls more than his own position and more than his own financial status. He cared about others more than himself. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showeth mercy unto him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. That's pretty powerful. Priest, Levite, and a Samaritan. Now, historically and literally, what do we have here? We have a priest, a Levite, and a Samaritan. And it's literally, there was a man, literally speaking, there was a man that was abused, beat up, robbed, left half dead. The priest came and he had no compassion on humanity. And think about this too. If someone's like bleeding and naked and like need of a doctor, humanly speaking, even lost people would have compassion and call 911. You say, well, they could have found a doctor. They could have done something. These men that were priests, they saw someone in need, physically, and they could care less. They walked on the other side. Is that true? Is that what we're reading? But there's a Samaritan that showed compassion, humanity, you know, whether you're saved or not. There's lost people, people that hate God, that have a moral compassion on people. Isn't that true? Happens all the world. Okay? And we're saved. We have Christ. We're forgiven. We're born again by the Spirit of God. How much more we should be more loving than anyone, more compassionate than anyone, more power, more love, more giving of ourselves than anyone. Isn't that true? Amen. And that's true. Okay, now watch this. So that's literal. I want to spiritualize something. I want to spiritualize something. And I want you to see this with me. Now we read in the scripture that we are spiritual priests. We're priests. Is that true? So happened, Jesus is talking about priests. Jesus is talking about priests. So let's spiritualize the text, but it's true to the doctrine, what I'm about to say. There's nothing out of context. Let's just spiritualize the text. Let's look at the Samaritan. Let's look at the Samaritan. The Samaritan had compassion on the needy, on those in need, and those that are lost. Even though the man who was fell in among the thieves, his raiment was stolen, he was beat up, left half dead. Do you know that's what sin does to people? You know the devil does that to people. The devil will rob you of your innocence. The devil will rob you of your joy. The devil will take your righteousness. Can sin in your life can send you to hell. Unbelief will send you to hell. So it's a picture of sin. It's spiritually speaking, it's a picture of sin. And all of us either are still in that condition, or we've been saved and we're out of that condition, but all of us are still in it, or were once in the condition of the man stripped and left half dead. Isn't that true? Lost people, think about this, breathe, live, walk. They seem like they're alive, but they're spiritually dead. They're spiritually dead. They need help. They need Christ. They need compassion. They need someone to tell them the gospel. Put their arm around them. Tell them, I love you. There's a hope. There's hope at the cross. I'll be praying for you. That's what people need today. But I want to spiritualize something about the Samaritan. And let's talk about him. Okay? And let's look at the three priests, or the Samaritan and the priest and Levite. Let's spiritually say there are three types of Christians. Three types of Christians. And let's say the man that was robbed is a picture of a sinner lost in need of a savior. Sinner going to hell, abused by sin, beat up by sin, the devil robbed him, took him. Sin has ruined his life, and he's not saved, and he does not know God, and there's no hope. And let's just spiritualize that the priest, because we are spiritual priests, let's say the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan, let's say they're Christians. So I would like to preach, exhort, reprove, encourage. What kind of priest are you? You decide in your heart. What kind of priest are you, and what kind of priest you would like to be? We're all priests. You said that. We learned that from the scripture. If you're saved, we're spiritual priests, right? But the question is, what kind of priest are you? You have the first priest, you have the Levite, and you have the Samaritan. Okay? Let's look at the Samaritan. The Samaritan lived what he believed. Would you agree? I mean, even if he was lost, let's forget it. Let's figure, not even spiritualize it. The Samaritan believed in humanity. He believed in morality. He believed in passion and help people, humanly speaking. I want to say something. I have not met, when I come back, especially to America, the most selfish people in the world. They only care about themselves, their joy, how they feel, how you offended me, how this will ruin my life, how this changes my plans. Me, 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 me. I see zero Christianity. Zero Christianity. Talk a lot, no heart. Do you see that too? Do you know people like that? Do you know that it's impossible? You know where the power of God is, brethren? I want to tell you from my heart. I'm telling you. I'm trying to help. You know where the power of God is? Don't care about yourself. Care about, look. I'm almost, and honestly, I'm addicted. I'm an addict. I'm an addict of making others happy. I want people to be happy. I want people to be blessed. I want people to be saved. I want people to be forgiven. I want people to have joy. Now, I'm not Jesus Christ. I can't give joy. I can't go in someone's heart. But I want to do everything I can to encourage and bless and love and exhort one another. You know what I'm saying? But when you're down and you're all, oh, woe's me and I'm sad in my situation, who are you going to help? Nobody. Because two blind people lead each other in a ditch. You're waiting for someone to bless you. And the other person's down, he's waiting to be blessed. So everyone is so selfish, and everyone's like, well, when who's going to bless me? And the other person's like, well, who's going to encourage me? And the other person's like, well, who's going to encourage me? And at the end, no one encourages anyone. You have to come out of yourself. You say, you know what? I don't care what you've been through. I want to encourage you. Man, how you doing? Is there something I can pray for you about? You look great today. You say, that means nothing, telling someone you look great. It puts a smile on someone's face. That means nothing. It doesn't. Laughter and joy is medicine to the bone, something like that. There's a verse in that in Proverbs. Okay. And it's in Proverbs. I know it's there. But isn't it true? Some people are just so down, so bitter, always negative, always thinking about problems, and then they get sick. Their bones hurt. Their head hurts. Their back hurts. All they are is negative. I'm serious. You know, I wake up thinking about others. I now wake up thinking about my wife. Thank God. Praise Jesus. That's the first person I should be thinking of. Jesus Christ first, then my wife, then my children, then others. Isn't that true? That's the biblical way. But people wake up about themselves, what I have to do, and me, and me, and how I feel. Brethren, there's no power. You cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit like that. You can't. Do you think you can be filled with the Holy Spirit like that? It's impossible. Selfishness. Jesus was selflessness. Spell joy. J-O-Y. Jesus first, others next, yourself last. That's really true. I'm telling you the truth. Now, the Samaritan lived what he believed. He wasn't thinking about himself. Do you think the Samaritan had no place to go? You think he just so happened to be where this person in need was? No, he probably had a time. He had to be somewhere. And not like the Samaritan was just kicking back. And, oh, he had a lot of time. The two other priests, the priest and the Levite, they were busy. They had life. They had a job. They had on a schedule. Oh, but the Samaritan wasn't? Well, he was traveling too. Maybe he was going to his mom's house. Maybe he was going somewhere important. But he said, wait a minute. God is speaking to me. I can't just leave this. God is speaking to my heart. I can't just deny this and act like this doesn't exist. And then do it with joy. I see other people help people, but it's better that you didn't. Because it's like, I'll help you then. I'd rather you don't, please. I'll go to a lost person. I'm serious. Sister, can you help me? What do you need? I'm sorry. No, it's just what? I'm, you know what? I wish I'd never even asked you. Right? Or no? We should want to bless people. What can I do for you? Praise the Lord. No problem. But it's going against my schedule. It's going against my life. I'm sure Jesus had a lot of stuff to do in heaven. He came down for you. You know why Jesus died on the cross? It wasn't the Jews. It wasn't the nails. You really think the nails held Jesus Christ on the cross? Jesus could have looked at those nails, and those nails could have came right out, went right through the emperor's heart. The nails could have just flew out like guns, right? He could have called 10,000 angels from heaven, a legion of angels, and wiped out everyone. And Jesus could have went, like float in the air with power and light. Could he have not? He didn't. What held Jesus to the cross? Was it the nails? It was his love for you. He made time for you. I'm so glad that Jesus has so many children. Thank God there's a lot of saved people in this world. Not enough. But there are a lot. Not enough, though. It's never enough. But there's a lot. And Jesus Christ loves every one of us as if we were his only child. You know, if you call him, you don't have to wait in line. Jesus Christ always has time for you. You know? Your pastor might not have time. I might not have time. We're busy. We're humans. My wife, sometimes she's busy. I haven't eaten. She can't. But there's someone that always has time. We should just get on our knees and talk to him. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He loves you. And he knows what you're going through. He just wants to hear your heart. Isn't that true? The Samaritan interrupted his busy schedule for others. You know why? The Samaritan learned that true happiness and true joy is loving God first and loving others next. It's caring about other people more than yourself. Do you believe that? We believe a lot of stuff, but we don't live it. I don't understand that. What if we didn't learn any more doctrine? All you did was do what you already knew. What if you just did what you knew was right? We don't even do that. The Samaritan had compassion. You want to know why the Samaritan had compassion? And the priest and Levi didn't at that moment? You want to know why? The Samaritan's God is full of compassion. Look in Psalm 86:15. The book of Psalms 86:15. Praise the Lord. Woo! Praise the Lord that we have a God full of compassion. Do you remember when God showed compassion on you? Do you remember when you were lost and lonely and in need and Jesus came to you? Some of you say, well, I'm supposed to know. I know in theory, but I never experienced it. That's the problem. You can't give compassion if you never had it. I preached that Sunday, right? You can't give something you don't have. Some of you don't have love, so you can't love. Sure, you love people like you. Sinners do that. You know, drunks love other drunks. No, murderers love other murderers. Homosexuals love other homosexuals. Sinners love people that are like them. That's not nothing new. I mean, sinners do that. Can you love people who don't love you? Can you love people whose personality is not like yours? Can you love people who rub you the wrong way? Or are you bothered? Can you love people who don't take your advice? Wow, we're so far from Christ, but we don't have to be. Samaritan wasn't. Look at Psalms 86:15. You with me? But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. I want to be like that, guys. I'm not sometimes. I get angry too. I get upset and fleshly, but why? And then why do I do it and then make excuses? Listen to me. How come if I'm not nervous and upset fast, how come I'm not so sensitive to the Holy Spirit where I say, wait a minute, I'm wrong? And then go say, I'm sorry. Why is it that we could be in the flesh and then make excuses and we never say we're sorry? We never say, God, we're sorry. And we just say, well, that's just how I am. Well, that's why Jesus came to change who you are. Why are we not so sensitive to the Holy Ghost? Why are we so hard to the Holy Ghost? And that's what I'm going to get to. This is just the introduction. It's not a long message. It's getting. It seems like it, but it's not. Look with me in Psalms 145:8. Psalms 145:8. Every one of you are precious to God. Every one of you are important to God. Psalm 145:8. Look with me, please. Are you there? Okay, the book of Psalm. Psalm 145:8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Do you know people that are quickly angry? Do you know anyone like that? Are they full of the Lord? Oh, they might be saved, but are they full of the Holy Spirit? Are you quickly angry? That's wrong. It's wrong. It's a sin against God. But we don't care because this is who we are, right? I don't understand this. We really love God? Yeah, I love God as long as it invade my personal space. What? You know, in order for God to come in your heart, he has to come into your personal space. He has to come into your chest. The closest to your heart, Jesus comes in there. Jesus Christ should be the closest, the most precious thing to you, more than anything, and then pleasing him. You know, I know when I'm not right with God, when I sin and I'm kind of hard to, and I know it's wrong, but I don't feel bad. You ever do that? Well, I know it's wrong. Why don't I feel bad about it? Well, I know I shouldn't do that, but why can't I get on my knees and say, no, I don't want to be like that anymore. God, I'm sorry. Why are we hard to the Holy Spirit? Brethren, I want to help you tonight. I would like for every one of us to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit when we leave this place. Just what if we were just a little bit more sensitive? A little bit more emotional, a little bit more sensitive to the Holy Spirit in our personal, not in his life and her, in my life, in your life. Okay? Who does the Samaritan remind us of in this? Look with me in Matthew 9:36. Wow. Matthew 9:36. Passion, love, Jesus. Saying you're sorry. I love it. I'm serious. It's so easy now. It wasn't always easy. I'll admit, there's been times saved, born again. I'm as saved as Apostle Paul, saved as Jesus. That's weird. Right? Saved. There's been times where I didn't want to say sorry. There's been times where I've been far away and I, for whatever reason, no, I'm not. God, I don't want to be like that again. Do you want to be like that? Me neither. If you're like that tonight, you could change it. You can. No, it's too hard. I try and then I fall back and it's just too hard. You know what? I give up. No. The Lord doesn't give up on you. Look with me, please, in Matthew 9:36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Some of you say, God, if you send me, I'll go. I have better news for you. If you can't labor with love and passion where you're at, you're not going to do it when you go. Some of you are waiting for a calling to go somewhere else, and then you'll be spiritual. You'll have compassion when God calls you. You should love everyone here and now. Everyone should see compassion on you. And that's what I love it. People make fun of me all the time. I'm in churches. Brethren, I love it. I'm not upset. I think it's great. I do, because why do I think it's great? Because it's like it's making a difference. I know God's using it. I mean, think about it. We've come to a society where people make fun of others because they love too much. What? We're in church, and people are like, yeah, this guy, man, he tells me I'm special and important to God. Was something wrong with that? Well, I think that's kind of weird. Weird to who? People who are dead, backslidden, cold, bitter. That's weird. Well, in Acts, when they had all things in common fellowship, you think that was weird? They were doing that daily. Or am I wrong? Brothers! I'm serious. We're hard. We've changed. But our inside heart, we don't know how to break through. We don't know how to be free. I told Brother Kevin that. I feel like a little kid sometimes. Sure, sometimes I'm embarrassed of myself because I'm like, I question myself. I ask my wife, am I normal? Is this right? And what it is I feel like a kid again. I'll be 37. I have four kids. I feel like a kid. I'm free. I'm serious. I feel like I can, I don't know. I don't care anymore. Not because I want to be, I'm just free in my heart. I can love anyone. I think, Kevin, we were driving, or we got gas. I went out and we pumped your gas, right? And there was a Muslim there. And he was a Muslim. And I started talking to him. I told him I loved him. And he said, well, I love you too. It was like this. And I said, no, seriously, I love you in Christ. Do you know Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And he was listening. I said, he wasn't just a prophet. He's actually Son of God, and he came to die for you because he loves you. He's full of love and passion. And we're all sinners, and we deserve to go to hell, but Christ came to save you. And he was like, oh, okay. And he was nervous. And I said, can I tell you something? He said, yeah. And Kevin was there and waiting in the car. And I said, you're important to God. Can I ask you something? Is a terrorist important to God? His acts are wicked and deserve the full extent of the law. Who doesn't know that? But isn't he a soul? Didn't Christ die for this terrorist? What if we reached the terrorist before he committed his evil acts? What if we reached him and told him about Christ and he got saved before he did his wicked things? Love! It doesn't matter who they are. Muslims. I love them. I don't love their religion. I don't love their wicked sins, but do I love their soul? Absolutely. Do I want a Muslim to go to hell? Well, bless God, I believe they should go all rot in hell. You don't know what spirit you are of. Well, that's what Jesus said. They came back and said, Jesus, they don't receive you. Should we command like Elijah that fire comes from heaven and consumes them? Jesus stopped and said, you don't know what spirit you're of. The Son of Man, Jesus Christ, didn't come to destroy lives, but to save them. Wow. Christ came to save Jewish people, Muslims, black, white, Puerto Rican, Chinese. Jesus don't care what religion. He wants to save your soul. What's the difference of a Christian lost person and a Muslim lost person? What's the difference? Nothing. We forget sometimes. And we get caught up in the news media. And we get caught up with the world. We have anger. Yeah. You don't know what spirit you're of. And that's why you're not winning souls. You're not soul sensitive. You're not Jesus sensitive. Now listen. The Samaritan is living like Jesus. The Samaritan is living like Jesus. You and I can live like Christ. Isn't that true? Oh, and I didn't tell you. So to find it, I told him he was a special God. I got down on my knees in the gas station parking lot. Got on my knees and I start cleaning his shoes. He went like this. He did something like he blessed me. Like no one's ever done that. This is what he said. Where's your church? Give me your number. He started pulling out his phone number, right, Brother Kevin? And I said, Kevin, because I have a Florida number. I said, Kevin, give me your number. Kevin pulls out a track. He said, here you go. Calls a number. He says, it was almost like no one's ever talked to me like this and showed me love like this. It's powerful. I was on fire for like 5 hours after that. Woo! You know, some people do. I ain't talking to Muslim. Wicked men. Well, I will. You don't have to talk to them. I'll love on them. Hug them. Tell them about Jesus Christ. He'll be mad at you. Brother, no one can fight with love, brother. If you want to fight doctrine, go ahead. I'm just going to show him love and break his heart first and then tell him why. I told another time, I told a Muslim, I was in a store at one time, I said, yeah, well, he goes, I'm Muslim and we believe Jesus is a prophet, but we don't believe he's the son of God. I said, and with sincerity, because they see if you're cocky and your face is trembling, and you go, okay, show me what you, no, see, people see your attitude, humbly, with care. Wow, tell me about Muhammad. I know it's all wicked and going straight to hell. I don't know that. And I said, tell me about Muhammad. I said, tell me what Muhammad did for you and changed your heart. And let me tell you what Jesus did for me. He was like, oh, he teaches the way. He got nervous because what does Muhammad do for him? I said, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. I start talking about the cross and the nail prints and the blood. And I start talking about forgiveness and there's not a sin in your life that Jesus can't forgive. I start talking about there's nothing you can do that Christ can't forgive. And God is full of mercy and love and he came to save your soul from hell where you're going when you die. And Jesus changed my heart and I love everyone. I love my enemies. I even said, I don't know. I said, I even love the Boston bomber. I did that on purpose. And he looked at me and he says, no, you don't. So what he said, I'm telling you, it's with brethren. You don't love him because he sees white America, that they're angry, wicked, but we are too. We're angry because they're angry. It's like we're angry because they're murderers. So we're angry too, instead of crying for them, saying, you're going to hell, you don't know what you're doing. Do you see? We're different. We've lost focus of Christ and what he's really about. And I told him, I love him. I said, I don't love his acts and what he's done. Hurting others and killing people is never of God. Of course. But see how I'm saying it? It's different now. Yeah, your religion's full of hate and murder. That's true. You're right. He ain't going to win at him. Why can't you say the same thing, but because you care about him, and he, like your child making a mistake? You ever have a son or daughter that's wrong? You're like, what are you doing? I love you. You're wrong. No. He had tears in his eyes and said, I've never met a Christian like you, ever. And he goes, what religion are you? I said, I'm a born-again Christian. I'm saved. Jesus came into my heart, my chest. And I can forgive and love everyone. Forgive and love everyone. And it floored him because Muslims can't live and forgive and love anyone. We showed him Jesus, just didn't preach our doctrine. So, we see that the Samaritan lived like Jesus. Now, what happened to the priest and Levite? We'll be done. Let's start with the Levite. Look with Luke chapter 10, 32. And we'll end in these verses. I'm not going to flick in any other verses. Luke chapter 10. I know this is strange. I actually had one time, I preached stuff like this, and a brother, jokingly, but I know he called me the charismatic brother. This is our charismatic brother. I'm charismatic now because I love people and forgive. I just thought that was King James Bible. No one's speaking in tongues here, my brother. But you see how far we've come? That's why we're in the last days. But you don't have to be in the last days in your heart. You can personally have revival in your heart. Every one of you. Look in Luke chapter 10, please. Luke 10, 32. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and, what does it say? Looked on him. But look at verse 31. The priest, it doesn't say he looked. Look what it says. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he what? I'm going to talk about that. Notice that the Levite looked on him. Okay, what do I believe that means? This is what I believe, okay? And I did a study. I don't have a full study right now, but I studied it personally. You can look at it yourself. Notice what he came and looked on him. The Levite noticed the man's need. The priest saw the man in need. He saw him like any other, like a number. Listen to me. The priest came to the place where the man was in need, and he just saw him as any ordinary person. He saw him as a number. Zero compassion. Zero conviction. He was so cold and so hard. He was like, and me? And what? What's that mean to me? Hard, cold, live for himself. But the Levite didn't just see him, the Levite looked. Now, what does that mean, I believe? Actually looked on his, didn't just see him as a number, actually looked on his sinful condition, looked on his state, And the Holy Spirit touched him in his heart and said, do you see that? Help him. So what am I going to preach to you now about these two? What is the point? Now, please listen to me. If you didn't hear anything, I'm going to close. Listen to this. I want to give you powerful insight spiritually on your heart towards God and what happens to a believer. It happened to me. I know for a fact. If you're a saved person, do you have the Holy Spirit? All saved people have the Holy Spirit and can't lose it. You're sealed unto the day of redemption. Is that true? Okay, so remember, spiritually speaking, if these are all saved, spiritually speaking, they're all spiritual leaders, literally, physically, doctrine, they're all spiritual leaders, a priest, a Levite, a Samaritan, well, he could be a spiritual leader in his home, with his family, you know. Okay, now watch this. The Holy Spirit in the Levite, the Holy Spirit spoke, convicted, spoke to the Levite. The Levite looked because the Holy Spirit revealed to him there was someone in need. And he had a decision in his heart. I'm going to show you the decision. Go and help him. I need to help him. I need to give him the gospel or help him, take him to the hospital. If you want to take it physical or spiritual, doesn't matter. Man in need. Look at him. You need to help him. Well, I can't. I'm busy. Someone else will do it. No, you need to. This is your chance. Tell him about you. Give him a gospel tract. Tell him you love him. Tell him something. I can't right now. I got to go. The Levite grieved the Holy Spirit. Because the Levite looked. The Holy Ghost showed and spoke to the Levite. Said, look, here's a man in need. Help him. But the Levite in his own heart said, I can't. I won't for whatever reason. He grieved him. Okay, now I'm just going to read if you don't want to. In Ephesians 4:30, I'll just read it. If you want to look at it, that's great. I'll just read it. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. If you have bitterness, are you going to be filled with the Holy Spirit? That's why it's honor. And grieve not the Holy Spirit. So you can grieve the Holy Spirit by bitterness, by wrath, by anger. Because he's saying, grieve not, take this stuff away. In other words, if you have this stuff, you'll never be led by the Holy Spirit. Well, you can be at times, but you're going to be living miserably the whole of your life. Live in the flesh. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted. That's why saying, hey, you look great today. Hey, praise the Lord. How you doing? Care. That is just human nature to be kind. Some people have to be fake. Oh, hi, how you doing? You have to be fake because you have no kindness. You have nothing in your heart. You're sad. You're miserable. You're down. And you know what? You can't even bless someone. Then you put a half smile on it. I've done it before. You ever done it? Done it? Hey, brother, how you doing? But inside you're like, I don't even want to see my brother right now because I have to act spiritual and act happy and I'm not. That's a shame. That is a shame. Okay? And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Hebrews chapter 3. I have to read this. Hebrews chapter 3. Listen to this, brethren, because this is the whole message right now. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Okay, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation of the day of temptation in the wilderness. Look at verse 15, says it again. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, the Levite heard his voice, but walked on the other side. He grieved the Holy Spirit. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Look in Hebrews 4:7. Hebrews 4:7. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. The Levite was listening to God in his heart, but did not obey. You ever do that? Be honest. You ever go to the gas station and you see someone and something tells you, give them a track. Tell them something. And you know it in your heart, you have to. No one tells you. There's no preacher. It's you by yourself. You think it's your mind. It's God speaking. It's Jesus Christ who you love, who saved you, in you, saying, do this, do this. And you're like, no, I can't. I'm embarrassed. How am I going to do it? And you battle with God. And then you leave and then you forget. Your heart just got a little harder and you don't even realize it. Your heart got a little harder. You think you can keep on saying no to God your whole life? Only say yes when it's convenient for you? Say no to God when he tells you to do something and you're going to be full of joy and love and have this power and tears? No. That's the difference between the Samaritan and the others. That's all. More sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Now watch. Watch this. The Levite was listening to God, but he said no. He hardened his heart to God. You know what happens if you grieve God for a long time? Brethren, listen to me, please. You know what happens to some of you? You grieve God a long time. You know what will happen? You won't be a Levite anymore. You'll be a priest. In this story, look at Luke 10:31. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by the other side. You don't feel anymore. Your heart has become so hard. Your heart will become so cold. And all you do is live after the flesh. You can't feel anymore the Holy Spirit. You don't even know when God's working. You think it's emotion. You don't even know. You're hard. Why? But it wasn't like that in the beginning. Be honest. When you first got saved and you were crying and you were seeking the scriptures and you were loving everyone and you just wanted to please God, you were more sensitive to God. And remember, you would say sorry if something happened and you were like, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't know. But now, because you've been hurt and you've been saved a long time, you've grieved God so long, now you're a little harder. Now you don't feel as much. You're not as sensitive. Now you're tough. And guess what? You're like a priest. You see people as numbers. And sometimes you don't even see how God's working. You're missing the boat because you grieved God so long. Your heart is hard to God. And I'm going to tell you something, even in marriage, even in relationships in the church with your brothers and sisters in Christ, at your job, be honest. Were you ever in a conversation and you walked away asking your wife, you think so-and-so was offended because I said this? Why'd you think that? Carnal mind? Maybe. Maybe. Could have been the Holy Spirit saying, you did wrong. You grieved me. And you don't even understand why. You did something wrong. You said something wrong that grieved me. And what do we do? Ah, they'll get over it. Ah, if they're spiritual, they have grace. You want to be sensitive? You want to see the power of God in your life? Try it if you don't believe me. Do. Hey, brother, sister, I'm so sorry. For what? When we were talking, what happened the other day? When we were talking, if I offended you, please, I'm sorry, I felt convicted. And it's possible that they'll be like, I don't even know what you're talking about. That's good. But you feel better. Brethren, you'll feel freer. Your conscience won't be weighing you down. You know, Apostle Paul said, I am free in conscience. You ever read about conscience? And Paul was free in his conscience. You know what that meant? He had nothing against any man and no one against him. And if you, with all of your power, live peaceably with all men. If you feel like you've offended your wife, say you're sorry. Well, bless God, she offended me too. And I'll say sorry when she says sorry. Where's Jesus? Do you even care about being saved and pleasing God? Or are you just so living for the moment in the flesh in the moment? We should put on Christ every day, not just church. Live Christ Monday and Tuesday and be real. Don't put on show. Be real. Be yourself. Love people. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Stop putting on the front for church. Be a Christian all day long. Say you're sorry. Say thank you. Be sensitive to other people. If you want to win souls, he that wins souls is wise. Everyone will love you. I'm telling you. I can't explain it. Not everyone. You can't win everyone. But think about it. Has there been people in your life you think that you've hurt or offended? And because of your pride, you did not say I'm sorry. And you think you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know you're going to heaven. And God can bless you and use you. But you're missing out on more blessings. You're missing out on more joy and power that I can't explain. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? If God, the Holy Spirit, speaks to you in your conscience, just weigh it out. Weigh the spirits, but act on it. Don't let your pride hold you back. God, say sorry if you did wrong. Listen, if I think Pastor Veach is upset at me, and I don't think I did anything wrong, but I think he's upset at me, you know what some of you do? I'm not saying nothing. If he's upset at me, he can come to me and talk to me. I didn't do nothing. What? If I even felt, if I even suspected that Pastor Veach was upset a little bit, hurt, it could have been the smallest thing. I'm going to knock on his door, be at his doorstep, and call him. You think that's extreme? That's Christian. The Bible says, read it. Come on, guys. I don't have time for all the Bible verses. It's in the Bible. You know it is. I mean, come on. You know it's in the Bible. If your brother offended thee, go to them. I mean, it's just, it's all through Scripture. Why are we so hard and proud? Who are we? The power of Christ is forgetting who you are and caring about others. I know people that won't even sit on the floor. I'm not saying you have to sit on the floor to be spiritual. But what I'm saying is some of you, I'm sitting on the floor, crease my pants. What? You don't know who I am? No, I don't. We think so highly of ourselves. I just want to love everyone. How are you doing? Are you happy? Are you sad? What can I do to help you? And I'm not Jesus' solution. But it's something humanly possible that I can do. And I feel like that you would do the same for me. I'm just going to close with this. But can somebody really live like this, Brother Mike? I mean, is this real? I mean, can somebody really obtain this? Or that's just our goal, but we'll never actually get there. You can really live like this. But you have to lose who you think you are. You have to really think others are more important than you. You have to really be convinced that other people are more special than yourself. You have to. Did Jesus do that? So can we? Yes. Is the Holy Spirit telling you to do something today? Is there someone you have to hug and put your arm around? Is there someone you have to say, I'm sorry? Someone you have to listen to? Is there something you have to do? Someone you have to witness to it? Read? I don't know. Is there a past or a present? Is there a situation that you know and the conscience is saying, you're wrong? But you're saying, I won't get it right until this happens and this person says this. Then I will because it's their fault. But in your conscience, you know you're wrong and you're miserable and you're not happy and there's no joy and you think you're hurting others. You're just hurting yourself and you're grieving your Lord who you love. And then you pretend and sweep it on the rug and come to church, everything's fine, but you know not everything's fine. Is there something we can do today to be a little bit more sensitive to Christ and His Word? Your pride will go down, but you'll feel the tear again. The heart will be warm again. You'll feel His presence. You'll love Him and thank Him. You'll not just believe Him, you'll feel Him. Feel Him. The fruits of the Spirit, joy, love, peace, long-suffering, the joy full of glory, unspeakable and full of glory. That's in the Bible. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Like a river of water flowing through your soul. Like a river through a dry brook. Sometimes we're dry and it's like a cactus in there in a desert. We need sometimes waters to come by and just refreshing. Like, praise the Lord. But maybe there's something that we're not doing. And brethren, you're either a Samaritan today. You're very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And whatever God, the point is, you're so sensitive that whatever God puts on your heart, you're going to do it. Whether it's say sorry, whether it's get something done, whether it's ask for forgiveness, whether it's witness, whether it's win a soul, come do something. You're going to do something. Or you're like the Levite. You're saved. The Holy Spirit's still talking to you. But you're saying no and no. And for all your reasons, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. Or you've become like a priest. You've said no to the Holy Spirit so long. You're so hard. You've become so cold. You don't feel His love anymore. You know what's right here. But here. Let's pray. Wow.